Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of This Week in Mormons. TWIM, I come to you live from Huntington Beach, which means nothing to anybody, right?
It means something to me.
Anyway, great to be here with everybody. I'm always weird when I've got guests here because I'm not like in my performance mode because it's almost quasi-embarrassing. But anyway, so I'm here. We have guests with us this week.
Wait, you hamminess is...
It's not hamminess as much as unrivaled wittiness is what you're really looking for there. Anyways, I'm surrounded by beautiful women tonight, so you're missing out. You had to sit on red eyes from Ukraine.
That's why he's in Huntington Beach.
And I get to sit here in Huntington Beach with hot chicks. So I would like to introduce Aaron Elton.
Hello.
Producer of The Mormon Bachelorette and Aubrey Messick.
Hi.
The star and victim of The Mormon Bachelorette.
That's true. You be the judge.
So they're joining us today to talk about that and just join us because we figured why the heck not, right? So nice to have you here, ladies. Thanks for being
Thank
with us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Excited to be here.
Oh, very nice.
Hello, ladies.
Oh, Al, how are you doing anyway?
I'm doing great, man. Speaking of ham, like, did we talk about this last week where President Monson at the stone sealing ceremony of the Keeb Temple? Did I tell you about that at all?
No, because we have not talked since the dedication last week. So,
all right. So at the dedication, President Monson is just like the dude is hamming it up. Like, it was so funny just to see him out and rocking. Like he's singing songs to the members, like songs from. What's the Sound of Music? He's like, goodbye. Like, dude, the man was in his element. And it was, I felt so bad, but like, I think maybe when he was a kid, it was appropriate to say some of the things he was, but like, there's some great sound bites that I hope never make the internet. Like,
Lenin or what? I mean,
No, like, he turns to the crowd and he's like, how about that, boys? I like little boys. I like red-haired little boys. And I'm just like, man, if you took that out of context, President Monson, and like you can see Uchtdorf, he's just shaking his head in the back. He's like, man, this guy doesn't get it. Come on.
I think Uchtdorf was shaking his head during Sound of Music stuff. Like, Tommy, you're not in Austria right now, buddy. We're in Ukraine. I'm the German speaker here. Listen to me.
Well, and President Monson, like, he's just like, everybody can come up. Let's get everybody up here to put stuff, you know, to put the mortar in. And, Uchtdorf is like, no, we need to go. Oh my gosh, some great, great one-liners. Like, oh, this boy's got half. Never mind, I can't even say.
You have to say it. You can't tease us like that.
Well, so this kid goes up and grabs a whole scoop full of mortar, and President Monson says, "This boy's got half the wad here," and then he's like, "Just get it in there." I felt so bad for him. So I was like, if only he knew. In the 50s, that was totally fine, but now...
Not so much.
Just don't say that.
Oh.
But anyway, yeah, so life has been good.
I'm glad the temple dedication was spiritual for you. That's good.
It came back. It finished with a bang. Then I had a 14-hour layover in Moscow last night, which was amazing because you can smoke in that airport, so it made it wonderful. And
really?
Yeah, here I am in New York. It's exciting. Good... Pretty good trip, man. It was fun to finish all that up.
Well, it's nice to have you back, so to speak, too. So,
yeah, back in the States where it's not like a 12-hour difference.
Though, ironically, I think our internet connection was better when you were in Ukraine last week than what we've been dealing with tonight. So,
it's Estonia favoritism.
I'm not smacking any of you, okay? That's, is it Estonian favoritism? But
that's exactly
I'll
what
spare
it
everyone
is.
A lecture, but you would think the Estonians would be out to get a post-Soviet thing. Never mind. Anyway, we'll spare you the rant on that.
We're not that technical.
Well, yeah.
So Aaron and Aubrey, how has your week been? This is traditionally the part where we banter and just talk about how things are.
You know, things have been great. Things have been great. It's been a little crazy around here with the Mormon Bachelorette stuff going on, but it's been fun.
A little bit of drama, yes?
Oh, always.
And I'm kind of excited that I'm meeting these guys for the first time on the internet. They've been keeping everything a secret, so it's been fun to see some of the contestants.
So it's internet dating, basically, but glorified for entertainment value.
And Mormon style.
And Mormon style.
You could just go on like LDS singles.
So Mormon style, does that mean like the guys, you play a game of signs and then he takes you to the mall?
Or apples to apples. Or
is that what we're talking about?
And then you just then you hang out for a long time.
It's like, let me take you on the
hanging out.
And then, let me take you on the perfect
date. And then get the cuddling for extended periods. A lot of cuddling.
And then live clue games. Which are also a favorite.
Oh, that's a great idea. We're trying to get some of these guys some Are you mocking the live clue game that we did?
Oh my gosh, that's the worst date ever.
No, no, wait a minute. No, I'm just saying, no. Did you move in with me when we did the live clue game before, like two and a half years ago?
You told me about it, but it's also a date night for four people in Provo.
Yeah, I didn't do that. No, no, no.
Where you show up and it's like, hello, I'm Mrs. White. How are you, Colonel Mustard? It's not that great. It's bad.
I think I have played that before, actually. But I was at BYU. It's been a long time.
I'm not surprised
you didn't marry the boy. Let's be honest. Okay. So, yeah, good to...
Well, that's fun. Just to defend myself, I never did that version of Clue, just so everyone knows. It was a ward activity where we converted the whole church building like into a life-size Clue board. Okay.
All right. No, that's totally fine.
And I was Colonel Mustard.
Like playing signs is fine, as long as it's not a group date with six people.
Sure.
These are great ideas. Oh, no. I'm so glad we're doing this right now.
So, yeah, because this is what you have to expect, I imagine.
No group dates. No, so probably not.
Lots of good one-on-one
time. Lots of good one-on-one quality
time. They'd be like, do you like Johnny Rockets? I do like Johnny Rockets. Do you like onion rings? I do. That's great. That's wonderful. No. Let's get shakes. Okay. Hey, who wants a Frosty? I would love one.
Now, the lead-in is always the favorite. Like, what was your favorite color? What was your favorite breakfast cereal? Oh, my gosh. That's the best.
I hate first dates with a passion.
I hate when they turn to that and like both parties know that it's going downhill and you're just like, sucks. Oh boy. Yeah, I got nothing for you. I'm all.
It's almost 8 o'clock. I think I need to get home now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not jerky enough to like pull the whole my friend's calling me or I've got to go, but I'll just say, yeah, I need to go. Without an excuse. I'm not lying. It's like, oh yeah, I have to go. Yeah. I'm just going to drop you off now. It's been really good. And, never talk to him again.
You're a terrible person,
yeah,
Jeff.
Yeah, well.
I am a terrible person, but...
You may not apply.
Hey, after one date, you don't... No conversation is owed to anyone about the nature of the relationship. It's not like, I went out with you once and I didn't want to go out again. I don't have to talk to you about anything.
But, Jeff, that's not what a Renaissance
man... I don't care if you're carrying my illegitimate child. It's fine.
Whoa, too soon.
I'm sorry.
Too soon.
You were in Eastern Europe, and it always makes me think of all the children we fathered while we were there. And it's just...
I'm sorry.
It pops in my head. Nothing.
Anyway, about this week in Mormons.
What about it?
Don't we?
We're rushing through the banter because it's weird to banter with people sitting around us that have things to do. So, anyway, so ladies, we're glad you're well.
Thank you. We are well.
They are well. And
boy, you know, listening to this repertoire, it's no wonder none of us are married. It's no wonder.
Okay,
ouch.
We take personal offense.
Hey, I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you. Every day, I'm like, oh, this right here, this is why.
She's the one. And she's not.
This is why we're here. Do you guys get that question? Why aren't you married?
Yeah,
everyone
actually
gets that question.
That's one of the questions on our application. We really
want to know.
Oh, I saw that. And I felt like it's a fair question to ask. Well, why aren't you married?
That's kind of they answer that in the video. I believe the answer was, I don't know. I'm waiting for the right one.
Or it was based on Michael Bublé's most recent hit, I Just Haven't Met You Yet.
At least that's what we're going with.
Yeah.
But the question the question was to that guy in the video, why would your mother say that you aren't married yet? So it was a much more realistic point of view.
I would contest that everyone's mother would say there's absolutely no reason. It's all because all the women are stupid. That's why my boy's still single. He's the best boy. He's the best. My mom's like the Jewish mother where she tries to help too much and she's like bringing girls home and she's, you have to meet my son. Come here. He's the best thing that ever happened to you. And it gets really awkward really quick. But I think every mother of every son everywhere thinks that their son is the best thing that ever happened and cannot figure out why he's still single.
That's true.
Yeah.
My dad, on the other hand, whenever I have a breakup, just asks me what, he's just like, what'd you do wrong this time? He's like the least sympathetic person in the world. So
a true father. Good man.
That's why I'm not married. It's all the scarring from my broken relationship with my father.
It's really fatherish.
And I never learned how to read.
All these things combined.
All right, let's dive into it. What do you say?
We got a good week, man.
Pretty good week. A lot of sort of almost PR stuff going on in the church this week, I guess you could say. Chinese stuff, more apologizing to the Jews.
Almost news.
A lot of almost news. It's a good way to look at it, because it's hard to top last week when we had the guy suing the church over baptisms, which was awesome.
Which, by the way, the AP had a follow-up on that.
We need to hear about that then.
Well, really, it's just like more details of the case, but the AP picked it up, so way to go. Way to go. Mormons are in the news.
What was his name again? I don't remember. Whatever.
Dustin, I believe it was...
We say it's McKay Coppins, but we know that's
McKay.
They don't.
That's all we need to know.
They're both looking at me like...
I actually want to know, how did he injure himself?
He said that he performed over 200 baptisms, and he even asked to be relieved, like, by a temple worker
because
it was hurting him.
He had to baptize. He had to baptize some people over 240 pounds.
And
lightweight.
But he says he asked to, like, you know, stop doing it. He was in pain in the temple. You know how old men temple workers are.
They're
just
slave,
like,
drivers.
Keep going. Come on. Let's power through. Put your head down and power through. So apparently he's injured now, and he's suing the church. And for more on that, listen to last week's episode. That's a nice little shameless plug for ourselves. So a lot going on this week, I guess. Yeah, a lot of stuff like that. And I guess, Al, what is going on back there? Are people doing dishes again?
I'm having visitors.
Okay, do they want to be on the show too? We can live it up. It can just be party central if you really want.
It's just Maddle. Hang on.
Is it Maddle? Oh.
Say hi, Maddle.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Hi, Justin.
Hi, Maddle.
Hi.
Who do I have the pleasure of talking to?
You're on with the Mormon Bachelorettes and Jeff.
Oh, fantastic.
You remember me? We shared a bed.
This is your live audition.
Remember, Maddle, the times we had together on Mexican islands?
Who could forget? All right, sorry about that.
Oh, it's good to see you.
He was just conveying a message.
Of what?
Love?
Oh, okay. Fair
enough. That's what I was going to say.
He won my heart.
All right. Take us there. Take us there, Skitch. Check it out.
Aubrey, I think this Mormon Bachelorette bit is it's gotten you very inclined to love.
So I ever think
I've
about.
I've got a lot of love to give.
Yeah.
Well, that's good then. Okay, so this week
I think I'm going to use Air Supply for this week's music. It's going to be good.
So this week, the church, it's a great announcement on the outside. The church announces that its relations with China.
Regularize activities in China is what they say.
Well, let me read it.
I'm sorry.
So after a series of high-level meetings, the Mormon Church and the People's Republic of China have led to regularized operations for the church in China. Now, what does regularized operations mean, Jeff?
Well, Al... I would assume it means that missionaries can flood in there and preach the gospel.
No!
No,
you'd be absolutely wrong. It does not mean that at all. In fact, it means just about nothing.
Do tell, sir.
So by regularizing, they actually come out and clarify. Elder Oaks, and he says, it's important to understand... Oh, no, this is Michael Otterson, the church spokesman. It's important to understand what the term regularizing means. And what it does not mean. It does not mean that we anticipate sending missionaries to China. He doesn't go into what it means, however.
But he does tell us what it does not mean.
It's important to understand what it means and what it does not mean. It's not missionary work. Amen.
So then what is it, Al?
That's all we get. That's all he gives us. Essentially, it's making sure that the church works within Chinese law. And the church members, the church and its members can proceed with daily activities in harmony with Chinese law. So I'm assuming, well, I'm hoping that it means that all of the quirkiness of Mormonism will be, I guess, prohibited. So there will be no green jello salads. There will be no Deseret bookstores or EFY music.
Oh, come on, though. Peter Brunholt needs China and China needs him.
None of the oddities of the Mormon genre will be allowed in China. And so it's going to be
like
strictly
Kenneth
doctrine.
Cope, for example.
And all revelation will stop with Parley P. Pratt, I believe.
Okay.
So that's what we have going into the church in China. No, they honestly, they say nothing about it. Like,
no, it
they
is give a whole nothing article.
But, well, so it's exciting that we're having talks. Really good work, everyone. Really good job. It honestly kind of means nothing until we can actually go in there and be the church that we are. So, meaning missionary work and whatever oddities they're prohibiting by regularizing us. I want them back. Our Chinese people need them.
Now, I have a question about this. Are Chinese people allowed to attend Mormon services in China? Because I know I spent some time in Egypt, and people that are from Egypt were not allowed to in order for the church to keep. So yeah. Maybe that's it.
From my understanding.
No. You are the expert, please, sir.
Well, I've got a couple of friends that have been over there recently, and there are meetings, like they do get together and meet, but it's like very small groups of them. Obviously, I'm not sure if it's because they don't have the numbers or because they just want to keep it low key and meeting like around a kitchen table at a bishop's home. Also, they're doing like Skype meetings where everybody Skypes in and they, you know, somebody gives a talk and everybody listens. And they're doing that over there for some of the more remote areas, I'm guessing. But I honestly, I don't know. I would assume that they're free to meet and worship, but I'm not sure.
I think the Mormonness is
prohibited. For regular meetings, maybe.
Sure.
Ones that are only an hour long, not three.
Or two. Sometimes you get lucky and they only have 2-hour blocks in some branches.
Wow.
Yeah, that would be the regularized meeting block, I think.
Yeah, I went to one in, when I was in Hungary and I went to church there. And yeah, it was just 2 hours. What did they cut out? I don't remember if they cut out. I think they just cut out Sunday school.
Mm-hmm. I would cut out Elders Quorum. I'd just be like, we got all the good stuff. We'll just see you guys next week. If you need any service, just give us a call.
Spoken like a true single man.
Oh. Did you hear that?
I don't know why I'm not married.
I don't know either.
I just can't figure it out.
Hold on. Have you two sat in an Elders Quorum before?
Never.
No.
Yeah, I wouldn't think
don't
so.
Don't want to.
Because it's we lack the tiers and the centerpieces and the things that make lessons great.
And the cookies. Relief Society, and I always bring cookies in case the lesson is bad.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
In case the lesson is bad. So then in case your lesson sucks, you bring cookies.
Yeah.
This is why I love America. It is so good to be home.
Mm-hmm.
See, in Elders Quorum, we are a fraternity, a service organization, whatever L. Tom Perry said. But, I don't know. No, we it's not nearly as entertaining. And right now, we get the exact same lessons that we get in gospel doctrine.
Principles.
But you get to bond with the brethren, you know?
No, playing Tetris on your phone, you're not bonding with other people. I don't play Tetris on my phone. I painstakingly listen. No, I'm serious. I will try and listen, and it hurts a lot.
Yeah, lately I've had a cop out because we do our Elders Quorum and Relief Society second hour to try to keep people there until third hour for Sunday school.
Mm-hmm.
And since I teach gospel doctrine, I'm like, I've got to set up and do this and that so I can be.
No, Jeff.
My room is not set up. I have to spend 10 or so minutes setting up all the chairs.
He has really nice centerpieces.
I have beautiful centerpieces. One time I brought an artwork. And
yeah. Showing the maps in your scriptures does not count as artwork.
Oh, no. Jeff. I have handouts sometimes. You know,
That is such a cop-out, dude. That's so bad.
What, handouts?
Anyway. No, like jumping out of your
I don't always jump out, but sometimes it's got to get done. Otherwise, class wouldn't start on time. Make sacrifices to serve others.
I totally
like, you
it.
Don't have 25 minutes of mingling that you could just like set up your class while everybody's in the hall waiting to come in.
I don't mingle. I go to a singles ward to save young single adults. That's
to
why
save
I'm there.
Us.
I'm there to save people. I'm not there to flirt or to date or be a friend with anybody.
That's kind of the summary of my story about the church in China.
It was a wonderful story, Al.
That's me just bringing it back in right there.
Appreciate you setting us back on course there. So I'll move right along there. In the notes, I like that I called this Jew Fest. I don't know why I decided to say that. Anyway, so Jewish and Mormon leaders issued a joint... This is another story of nothing. They issued a joint statement. Now... anyone remember hearing about this a long time ago when the church was doing baptisms for the dead and temple work for Holocaust victims?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was big drama.
It was big drama because the church just kind of up and did it and said, hey, free for all.
It was big drama because the church didn't condone it at all. People were just like, well, they're my ancestors, so I'm doing it.
Yeah. And people did it, and then the Jewish community got really upset, kind of understandably so. And even though we have since ironed it out, to my knowledge, apparently we didn't iron it out enough, because this week Elder D. Todd Christofferson was with Jewish spokesman Ernest W. Mitchell, I don't know, in Salt Lake, and they issued joint statements about the church and baptisms and Jews. And everybody
together. What did the statement say?
Really not a whole lot of anything. Just another like, hey, we want to make sure everything's kosher here. Hey, kosher. Good use of kosher on my part. Hey-o.
So are we allowed to baptize them or not? What's
no,
the verdict?
I think just out of respect, we just don't do it.
Can you slip well, it under the radar?
Sure. God loves it when we try to cut corners to properly live the gospel.
It's going to get done one way or another.
There's some poor Holocaust victim in heaven that's like, whoa. My work's done. And God's like, wasn't done according to the rules. And he's like, but it's right there. I see it.
Oh, I see. So I guess part of this is to assure that as we go through the process of submitting names to do temple work, that there are more almost background checks on the names to make sure that they are not of, that they're not Holocaust victims or of those families or anything like that.
Huh.
So the big issue here is to put in more safeguards, excuse me, to prevent people from baptizing Jews.
Wow.
Have all the Muslims you want, but don't have a Jew.
Well, it's only Holocaust victims, right?
Like, yeah, to my
the emphasis.
Well, yeah, okay. Because
as if they haven't been through enough, then they don't have that choice either.
No, but I'm assuming up in the land beyond, they will be given that choice.
This reminds me of a poem. My mother used to say to me as I'd go to sleep. She'd say, "Roses are red and violets are bluish. If it weren't for Jesus, we'd all be Jewish." Which is so true. So can we baptize Jews? I mean, John the Baptist started it, so I think we can point back to him.
I agree.
We're in fine.
Maybe you should call him up. Because we've had many discussions where Al has had great ideas for policy the church should adopt, and that for some reason the brethren aren't listening to him.
No, I think they're listening. But it's you queue these up. You don't want to make a bunch of changes all at once.
Yeah, just like how Elder Bednar reviews the Daily Universe every day for publication. They also listen to our weekly episode to make sure it's fit for consumption by the saints. Totally.
That would drive me nuts as an apostle. That would be the one task. You know,
they're
all
the Daily Universe every day.
They're like, hey, give that to the new guy. Hey, Bednar, check this out.
Well, I wonder if now he's probably pawned it off. Who's the newest one now? Anderson. Yeah.
Quentin Cook is like, what? Seriously? Guys?
Oh, poor Quentin Cook. We should have a discussion about our favorite apostles. That's totally like an appropriate conversation for everyone.
Richard G. Scott.
Hello.
Whoa.
I already know.
Happened.
Love him.
Aubrey, you have to tell us now.
Uchdorf.
Is it because he's hot?
Maybe.
He has an accent.
You should listen to
a guy with an accent.
See, Al, another Uchdorf person.
We did a beat on the street in Provo asking people what they knew about Mormons. And the culminating question was, who is the hottest apostle? And of course, like 70 of the 71 responses or something ridiculous like that were all Uchdorf.
Yeah. He definitely is.
He's handsome.
He's a dreamboat.
The ladies love him.
A dreamboat. Yeah, that was fun when I did that. And that's episode 24 for anyone who's interested.
Have fun. I love that you've got these catalogs.
Because we called that one Viva la Uchdorf. I remember that one. Anyway. Because everyone said Uchdorf. That was actually that was a really fun one. I did ground reporting in Provo.
Oh, I'm sad we missed that.
Yeah. I know.
Hard hitting.
It's
hard
still
hitting.
Just
like
the
today,
way technology works, you can go back and still listen to it.
Jeff goes to right all there. The tough places like Provo and Huntington Beach, which brings us to our next story. The Mormon Bachelorette.
What now, a story it is.
This is a phenomenon sweeping the Mormon community right now.
It truly is.
A phenomenon of bachelorettism and Mormonness. Now, I have to ask you, how closely are you adhering to the traditional bachelorette curriculum?
It's, you know, I mean, okay, so it started really because Aubrey and I have been friends for about 7 years now, and my favorite time of the year is when the season premiere of either The Bachelor or The Bachelorette comes, because Aubrey always has a huge party makes a big chart for everyone with all of the pictures of the bachelors and the bachelorette, and we play bachelorette bingo.
I'm a diehard.
It's like
fan.
The World Cup, yeah. But less important.
I look forward to it every year. You
it's
know,
like fantasy football.
Sure,
it is.
It's like fantasy Did you,
football. And I won last year. I got a really nice. Like
wait, with Jake?
The lotion?
with
spritzer? What is?
It was great. I always think.
Wait, was this the Wings of Love season?
Yes, every season. It doesn't matter who is on it. I would have rather not watched Jake, but it was still fun. So we have a great time and we bond and everything's really fun. And of course, Aubrey, you know, this beautiful, gorgeous, talented, and hasn't found a man yet. And so we were all sitting around the dinner table and thought, you know, we need to do something about this. And we need to broaden our horizons. Technology is perfect for that. So the season of Allie just finished. And I think that definitely inspired us. But this
fill the void.
And definitely inspired. The format is a little different. It's not going to end with a temple date, but hopefully a future eternal companion.
Will it be hours of softcore pornography towards the latter end of the season?
Because that's what we're hoping for.
Please, no.
I'm here because I want to see Aubrey
no fantasy suite.
Making out with guys. Yeah, is there a suite? Is there a mansion of sorts? Is this the mansion I'm in
we
right now?
We have a mansion.
We do.
That would actually be the best if you were like, and now here's a key to the suite, and it's actually a test.
Well,
and if he's like, yes, let's go.
I'm not going to say my dad you're hasn't like, offered the third floor of our home.
The third floor? What is this, Utah? I have three floors.
This is amazing.
Yeah. So.
So really, I mean, this is a ploy to meet more boys, right? I mean,
there aren't enough. So.
Yeah, there's.
Well, not enough that are asking us on dates.
Right.
Because I was looking at.
I
your
find
page,
that hard to believe based on the pre-recorded discussion of all the men taking these two ladies out and all the drama with them and which ones they should date. I don't think either of them are hurting to have men take them out. So there's some
now
other motive
about,
here.
What about Richard Miller?
Or Richard.
Or what about Pete Bradshaw?
We've tried.
All these men helping the Bachelorette. Why are none of them dating?
And what about David Marble? He looks very serious. Is he very serious?
You know, for all I know,
he looks very intense.
He could be dating one of the staffers. You never know.
Ooh, drama.
That happened on the Wings of Love season, and they had to kick somebody out, if you remember.
There has already been some behind-the-scenes drama.
Yeah, and we support
really?
That here at the Mormon Bachelorette.
Really?
Yes.
We like the drama
staff
here.
Interdating. Yeah. Yes, we do.
Wait, so Aubrey, if Aaron swept in and took your number 3 pick, how would you feel about that?
Well, I've actually already let her know. All I need is one. So she can have the rest.
So this is more for me than for Aubrey. Because,
pick off the weak ones.
Yeah. There's 21 yeah. extra guys abandoned us.
And Aaron loves polyandry, so we are just going forward.
So please tell me you have like 20 girls from the ward that are all signed up as like backups.
Oh, we
and
have
ranked
so
them.
Many people asking to be on for next season. It's great.
Oh
and we
gosh,
we might
awesome.
Even do, this is a little teaser, we might even do The Mormon Bachelor after Al. This. We've had a lot of interest.
This could be you,
see,
Al. People
are there
afraid
enough
of the beer. It never works for
are there
me,
enough so. Desperate women out there to really go after a Mormon bachelor, though?
Absolutely.
And that's what
are.
We want.
When's the last time you came to Huntington Beach?
The question to why we're
hello,
not married.
Hello.
How does the...
I've been in the Midwest far too long. Apparently, there's women out there.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Dude, you are never going to get a chick if you don't settle somewhere, though. Al's like always on the road. He's
it's
always vagabonding it up somewhere. What's the longest stretch you've lived anywhere in the past?
Can we
three
be
years?
settling soulmates?
You didn't answer my question, sir.
I'm sorry. What was
what is
it?
Your longest tenure anywhere in the past like 3 years, excluding Hawaii?
6 months, Toronto, Canada.
There it is.
Wow.
That's it.
I live a lot of
you lived here for like 5 months, right? 4 months.
My
months?
Work is such that I. Well, all right. So actually, this last week in Ukraine, my the lady
stuff?
That I was staying with, my Ukrainian mother, I call her Valya. A little shout out to Valya. Woo-hoo. She sits me down and rails on me in Ukrainian about why I'm not married and how it's because I don't have stability in my life and no woman would want me until I'm stable. And they're attracted to stability, and that takes more than 5 months in a place. It takes years, and like, yeah, I've got it all on video too. My buddy I was there with was eating it up. You'll love it.
Your buddy was recording her lecture to you.
Oh, it was terrible, man. She was unrelenting.
Was she actually like serious? Because
I know Vala.
She's a very pleasant, cheery woman.
She's right, Al. She's totally right.
So if she was right then, and you are you're accepting applications from all over the country, right?
Correct.
Does the man, so Aubrey, to finish dating you, would you accept a long distance relationship, or does this man need to relocate to Huntington Beach to win your heart?
You know, I'm not stuck here in Huntington. I can go to where he is, or he could come to where I am.
Oh, that's an open mind. We can bend that for a woman.
So you're in.
Hello.
Or yeah, like if someone lived in New York per se.
Or the Ukraine.
She just called it the Ukraine, Al.
It's we don't need an article. That's fine. It's just the it's just Ukraine.
Just Ukraine. There's no the.
But that's all right.
Okay, just Ukraine.
Ukraine.
I like how we don't know why. Up like, oh no, she didn't.
We don't know why we're not married. It's not like we're schmucks about grammar or anything. Yeah. So
how does the format of? I mean, I guess the format of like the show. But I mean, are you documenting this on video? How are people actually going to follow this? Is it just through a blog, like of tales of it, or is there going to be?
Yeah. Originally, the idea, and what I said that I would participate in was a blog, and that I would blog after each date that night, and that the next morning all of our readers would be able to read about the date. But I guess after about a week, we just had so many requests for video that we decided to bring on a camera crew, and they're going to follow me around, and we're going to film these dates.
Like in their entirety?
You know, we'll shorten them down to just 2-3 minute clips that we can put on YouTube. Yeah, sure. But yeah,
have you ever been filmed on a date before, Aubrey?
And not to my knowledge, no.
You have, Aubrey. You have.
I have filmed you before, Aubrey. I'm sorry to let you know.
It's time for me to admit about the Aubrey archives that I have.
Oh, no.
I would like to introduce Exhibit A. Oh, gosh. So you realize this is going to be incredibly awkward for both parties involved, right?
And everyone in the public places where you're at.
But I'm excited for that, you know? Bring it on.
I just can't wait to see how many glances at the camera they make when they don't realize they're doing it.
Oh, but it'll be like the adorable ones where you're like, oh.
Yeah, that's true. I think it brings an element to it where you can really get to know their personalities because, I mean, writing a blog about something is great, but at the end of every day, we're going to have Aubrey, you know, give her impression of the date, and then separately, we're going to have the guy give his impression of the date. So it just makes it a lot more interesting for people.
So don't you feel that this objectifies men? I mean, you're turning us into just a meat market. That's all we are. 21 guys to choose from. You want the top 8, then the top 3, then the top 1, and all we are is just pieces of meat?
Well, we're actually excited about the competitive nature of men because that makes it more interesting.
No kidding. Of course you'd be excited. There's 21 guys all looking for the same girl. That doesn't answer my question.
But, no, I think that, I mean, women in general, generally speaking, aren't as physically motivated about guys. So I don't think it objectifies them at that level. I mean, I think we definitely look more for the personality and who they are and how they treat us.
We do just care about bodies. It's true.
Yeah. So, and the Mormon Bachelor will be different, but yeah.
You're not going to do the walk of abs as is traditional?
Yes. Is there a swimsuit portion? Oh, are you going to inspect them? Like,
although that gives us great ideas. I like it. I don't know. Maybe.
Oh, that's.
I mean, if they're willing.
Brilliant.
So when? Okay, you guys are still accepting applications, right?
Till September 9th, yes.
So that's September 9th. So all of you listening to this today, quote unquote, on Labor Day, you have until the end of the week. What is that? Thursday then?
I think it's a Sunday. No. Yes.
Thursday.
I think it's a Thursday.
They're really well organized.
We don't know the day of the week. It's just September 9th. That's all we know.
So how can we find you? Where do we find you if we want to participate and follow along and vote and jeer? And
you can find us at www.themormonbachelorette.com.
Easy enough.
Easy
to remember.
And are you on Twitter or Facebook or any of that?
Yeah, we've got a Twitter account that the staffers are keeping up with. It's MB Staffers, plural, if you want to follow us there. And then we also have, I believe, a Facebook invite to follow us on Facebook. So just Google The Mormon Bachelorette.
Well, very cool, guys. I mean, if nothing else, it's the most brilliant ploy to get men to come to you that I've ever seen.
Yeah, this is like serious ego stroking. Did you guys get up one day like, how can we feel great about ourselves today?
We're confident. What can we say?
It's a brilliant move. I mean, beyond like whether or not it objectifies me and makes me feel like less of a man, that's besides the point. Well done. Bravo. I'm just excited that there's people out there forging the way, pioneering the path for those that will follow. The Mormon Bachelor. Yes, I think he should happen.
We agree. And when, you could be him.
When's it actually?
And then, then.
Yes.
I had an epiphany. Then the Mormon Bachelor, he'd do the swimsuit edition, right? And the girls in bikinis, he'd be like, "Leave, no. You're dead. Just go." They'd be like, "Oh, but no one's actually said." And he's like, "I live my religion different
and
than
then
you."
It's only the girls in one pieces and tankinis to get through.
That's their test. Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
And they've all paid for their own travel. He's like, "No, you, New York, go home."
We need to move on, but I do want to know from Aubrey then, like, so what are you looking for? What is it that's going to tickle your fancy?
You
what's
going to
get a guy a rose? How will he have that flower in his hand?
Not aroused, aroused.
Oh, boy.
I just wanted to clarify that. Came across a little slurred.
Well, that might have been intentional.
Okay, so I guess getting back to your question, what am I looking for? Somebody that can make me laugh is
that's
super,
such a
super
generality.
Important.
Come
I
on
know,
now.
But it's so important. And someone that just, you know, I can have easy conversation with. And I think my biggest thing, though, is honesty. I want a really honest and just open guy that'll be completely honest with me.
I see the pain in your eyes for saying that.
I've had some heartbreak in my life, and I need an honest guy. So if you're not honest.
Now let's talk about.
So if you're a funny Boy Scout, please apply.
Yes, please. Mm-hmm.
Now let's talk teeth for a minute. If they got Jagger teeth or they're like an off yellow, I mean, what does that do to the chances?
If
they're funny and trustworthy, but Jagger teeth? You know what I'm talking about, like T-Rex type teeth? Yeah, you've seen them.
Well, I have a fund that he could probably dive into and have some dental work done. I'd be okay with that.
There's a fund involved? I'm signing up for this. I've got a lot of grad school debt, so if you're willing to, you know, kick in for that, that would do me some good, definitely. Well, that sounds great. So all you care about is that they're funny, honest, and are open to having their teeth worked on if they are not up to snuff.
Basically.
On the rest is...
Yeah, the rest is just... Whatever.
What if, like in Al's case, they have brown hair, but they grow a red beard? Is that weird for you? Double color.
And you shave the sideburns so it leaves a little bit of red. Just to keep people wondering, what does that do?
Sounds kind of sexy, actually.
What if they have a beard?
That's what I'm talking about. What
if they
picture?
Have thick hair and they work in market research and they have a beard?
We dig facial hair. That's a good
What thing. About if they were a Mormon stallion and he has kind of the state trooper mustache thing going down to his collar?
You know, that's funny. He's actually my ideal body type.
Oh, hello.
Yeah,
hello.
When I saw him, I was like, okay, can we just stop right here?
Dude, yeah. We're getting some Carl Jr. after this thing is over. This is going to be great.
Did you get a rosed?
No.
All right,
no.
I'm moving on.
We're not gonna.
When does it actually start then? I mean, there's applications, but when's it actually going to be? When's there going to be something for people to see as far as?
The first, well, we're having a kickoff mocktail party on September 15th. And then the actual first date will be on Thursday, September 16th.
Awesome.
It's a beautiful world.
So stay tuned.
Well, good luck, you guys. I hope you find all your dreams fulfilled.
Yes. Hope you manage to objectify tons of men. Why is Aaron saying thank you? My dreams are going to be fulfilled. What are
not mine.
Your dream is just to be like a puppet master, isn't it?
yeah, essentially.
Okay. Fair enough. Yeah. All right. Well, let's see. Great. We've had all this. You see what our next story is? Now I feel stupid even bringing this up. Anyway, on an extremely serious note.
We can switch these over. Here, let me do mine.
Okay, so thank you for saving me.
So, Mark Hoffman, if you remember, he was the Mormon bomber from back in the day who did the salamander letters and yada, yada, yada. Well, so he apparently is turning out a Mountain Meadows piece that we've kind of based a lot of what we know about the Mountain Meadows Massacre around some of this. Not, I wouldn't say a lot, but like there's, it's been used to kind of back a lot of the research that's been done. And so it's the one, I'm just going to read it to you here, but it's the, it's entitled, or it's the document cited in the Essential Narratives of the Mountain Meadows Massacre. And in a review, it got picked up saying this probably isn't real. It's, so the content is, we arrived at the Mountain Meadow Massacre, or the Mountain Meadows, early in the evening, only to find John D. Lee and several other white men already present. Well, and on it goes. Essentially, it's saying that they were, the Mormons were aligned with the Indians. And so, you know, the significance of this would be that when they then turned and killed all the Indians, that it was like a breaking of that alliance and that trust. So good old Hoffman, man, that guy was crazy. If you don't know his story, I highly recommend reading the Salamander Letters book.
Isn't the book just called Salamander?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great. I read it as like a 12-year-old. It was pretty ridiculous for a 12-year-old.
Probably did some great things for your testimony. Yeah.
It's like watching The Shining at 8 years old. You're like, ah.
Oh, gosh.
Well, there we go. So it's all, yeah. I don't have anything else to say about that.
No, not really. It was just something to bring up.
Oh, Hoffman, even from beyond the grave, he keeps reaching out to us. Bless him.
Is he dead?
Sure. Let's say he is. Anyway, I'm sure many of you, this has been national news, but especially within the LDS community, heard about Bishop Clay Saner from Visalia, California, who was gunned down in his office this past Sunday, which is it's a really tragic story. Goodness. I don't know if we can say a lot of this as far as I think plenty of people are aware of everything that went down. But the what was the gunman's name? Do you remember? Do you have it
no.
there?
Well, so the gunman, though, he was an excommunicated member
yeah.
of the church recently by this bishop, and it was essentially revenge, I think.
Oh, it's Kenneth. No, that's the Ward.
Yeah, Kenneth James.
No, that's the Kenneth James Ward.
Yeah.
But yeah, we first heard about this because our family knows people who go to that building, not in that ward, and they came to church and they just had signs that said church was canceled, like all the meetings were canceled just to go home. So,
wow.
It's pretty dang sad. So my understanding, yeah, I mean, he was excommunicated and he went in and just asked to see the bishop like anyone would. And then took him out. And then afterwards, he was somewhere else when he got gunned down, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that what happened?
Mm-hmm.
Verify
it was,
for me.
It was about a mile away or something like that.
Yeah. He called, I think, the police and identified himself as
yeah.
a shooter.
And actually, look at the 911 call is, like, freaky. He says, hi, his name was Zane Thomas. This is Zane Thomas. He just says, I just shot the bishop here on Tulare Avenue. Operator says, you did? Yes, I did. Your name is Zane Thomas? Yep. And then he pauses and says, I'm at 1525 Burrell Avenue. Be prepared to throw down in Mortal Kombat. And then he hung up.
That's what he said?
Yeah, he actually said, be prepared to throw down in Mortal Kombat.
He was a gamer.
let's not make this about video games.
He must have been a gamer, I'm just saying.
Well, like he loves Sub-Zero and Scorpion.
He is a gamer.
Who are all the characters in Mortal Kombat? Dude, that was a long time ago. I don't remember.
Doesn't matter.
Raiden?
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Oh, and just a side note, though, there is a pledge going on to raise money for his family. We'll post the link to that. So far, they raised $60,000. So that's
yeah.
a wonderful thing that people are doing that. So we'll post the links there. So if you have anything to give, as much as I like to encourage all of you to donate to save Al's arm, you can go and donate money instead.
Yeah, let's go
sad.
To the bishop first.
Yeah, let's go to the bishop first this time around.
Yeah.
And then save Al's arm after that. So anyways, wrapping right up. We just got some random tidbits of information to end the show today. You might remember last week we talked about the biggest Pinewood Derby in world history taking place in Rio Tinto Stadium in Salt Lake City. Now I had these grandiose visions in my mind of a gigantic track rising from the stands down to the field, coasting on. That's what you assume when they say it's in Rio Tinto Stadium, right? Actually, it was on a hill in some backlot area behind the stadium. And that's all I wanted to say about that. I'm just pretty miffed.
It was a lie. They
broke my heart, basically, is what we get down to here.
Also, in other news, Stephen Hawking came out and said there is no God.
Well,
maybe in a...
he knows everything, Stephen Hawking.
So, yeah, just, not, you know...
that's the whole story. By the way, Stephen Hawking said there
that's
no
that's
God.
All I wanted to say. It's just nice to, you know, to know we have a physicist that can come out and essentially... put his jurisdiction over God and say that he does not exist. Essentially, he blames gravity for the universe and instant kind of the things just magically happening.
Yeah.
So
good for Stephen
there
Hawking.
You go.
Wow. All right.
Two last items. I'm sorry, I have to do this one, even though we said BYU Idaho built its newest and largest building, and they finally named it, girls.
Woohoo!
They gave it a name. Now, what might you think they would name a prominent building on a BYU campus?
Maybe
the Thomas S. Monson Center for Cultural Arts.
Sure.
Something along those lines.
The Neil A. Maxwell Center.
Sure. Some kind of great name. No, no, no. They named it the BYU Idaho Center.
Wow.
They really swung for the fence on this one, I think.
That's exciting.
So congratulations, BYU Idaho, for proving that you are the hot place to go to school, what with your creative naming and artistic outlook on everything in life. Oh, we have to do our important monthly check-in, though, before we go out.
All right, let's do it.
Let's do it real quick. Zara Hemla Times time. People, who should read it this time? We could have the girls read it, too, if we wanted to be jerks.
Read it.
Do you have it queued up? This month's, or this week's, the first one that you see right there entitled, do you guys have it up?
Yeah, right there.
Too much is not enough. You can click on the picture, it'll expand to full window.
Describe the scene.
Yes, please. Take us there, Aubrey.
Well, it looks like a plate of hot cookies.
This is not the one.
No?
Yeah, that's it.
What?
Those are cookies.
I believe those are steaming hot chocolate chip cookies. Yeah. At least that's what
I want. Oh, she's describing. I thought she was reading the dialogue box.
No,
I'm stupid.
Just describing.
You can continue.
Okay, so I'm seeing the cookies. Yes, you've painted a word picture for me.
Yeah, and then I'm
cookies,
seeing, you know,
flowers.
A nice little note, some big flowers.
What,
and a face.
What do they say now?
And then it looks like the husband's saying, let's see, do you ever think your visiting teachers go overboard? And then the wife says, no, why?
Oh, that is rich.
Once again,
that's funny.
Another Pulitzer Prize winning piece from Kevin Beckstrom. We love him so much. So, but we encourage everyone to go to the Zara Hemla Times because it's always good for a laugh. Because it never has anything to do with them being Nephites. Ever. Are you with me, Al?
All right.
Al's signing off because it's late in New York. You're getting tired, aren't you, sir?
No, I got to run. They're taking the room back.
Oh, that sounds bad. All right. I don't even want to know what that means. But anyway, Kevin Beckstrom, we salute you, as always.
Well done, sir.
Oh, brilliant, brilliant stuff. Cookies, candles, flowers, roses.
And go participate in the Mormon Bachelorette. That's what we have to say. Thanks,
yes.
Girls, for joining us.
Thank you.
Yeah, so go support Aubrey on her endeavor of love, everyone, and enjoy it. And there they go. People are at the door and everything. Anyway, folks, so thanks for listening in. Once again, find us on Facebook.com/ThisWeekInMormons, ThisWeekInMormons.com, and what am I missing? Twitter, @TheRealTwim. And that is how you find us. Yes, sir. Al,
right.
I'm glad you are back safely in the country, sir.
Thank you. Thank
nice
you,
to
Jeff.
Have you back in the States. Tell Aaron to say goodbye, but she's gone. But Aubrey, thanks for being on with us.
Thanks for having
me. Appreciate it. And this will be it. So everyone, once again, this has been another edition of This Week in Mormons. Bye-bye.